What's going on, people? It's your boy Kalechi back with another episode of the Rambling Mind Podcast. How are each and every single one of y'all doing today? I hope y'all are staying safe. I hope y'all are taking care of yourselves. I hope y'all are doing all the things you know you ought to do during these times, my friends. Hope y'all had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful weekend in the month of August. It's been thunderstorming down in the south. It feels like it's summertime, but there's been no sun because the clouds have been out almost every day for the last week or so. But as of right now, the sun is shining, which means the heat is going to be on. But anyway, I hope y'all are staying safe. In this episode of the podcast, we are going to be talking about some money myths that we have, some money beliefs that we hold that are not serving us any purpose, that are not serving us a good purpose, that are actually holding us back when it comes to our ability to manage our finances, when it comes to our abilities to do better with our money. Some things that we picked up along the way, whether it's things that we've heard from our family, things that we've heard from movies, things that we've heard from TV shows or from friends or from whoever, and that have become money beliefs that are actually holding us back that we need to get rid of in order for us to actually get to where we need to be when it comes to our finances. And I have about 23 of them listed in this video that I'll be sharing, or in this podcast that I'll be sharing. If there are any ones that I didn't talk about that you may that you think that I should share, please DM me, message me on Instagram at @ByKalechiWaba, or hit me up on Twitter, which is now called X, at @KalechiWaba. And of course, you can always email me at ramblingmindshow@gmail.com. But with all that being said, let's get down into myth number one, which is, and I hear this one quite often, money is the root of all evil. Money is the root of all evil, which, first of all, this is actually very improperly quoted. Let's just start off with that. This is like the wrongest quote of all time. The quote is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, which says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So it's not that money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money is the root of all evil when it comes to the Christian faith. Our first love should always be God. That's our first love. But sometimes money can easily infiltrate that first love where we start chasing it. So it's not the root of money. It's in and of itself is nothing more than a tool. It is nothing more than a tool. And it, like every tool, it comes down to how it is used. It's like a knife in your kitchen. It's just a tool. You can use it to cut up some vegetables, make yourself a nice little dish, or you can use it to cut somebody and then end up hurting somebody. So money in and of itself is not evil. All money does is it reveals our true nature and our true feelings. Myth number two, money doesn't buy happiness. And to that, I say bullshit. Money definitely buys happiness. And this is a hot take, but I believe that people who say this are in such a privileged position, but they don't even realize they're in a privileged position to be able to say this sentence. Because guess what? If somebody needs $1,000, because they have an emergency situation and you have $1,000 to give them, guess what? They're going to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. So please, there are a lot of problems that can be easily solved for a lot of us if we just had a little bit more money. So no, it's not. It's a lie that money doesn't buy happiness. However, how we choose to use our money is what will determine our happiness. Again, going back to the idea that money is just a tool. If we choose to use our happiness to add, to use our money to add value to our lives, then we'll always be happy. But if we choose to use our money just to make other people happy, just to show off, just to do all the flashy things and please everybody else, then of course you'll be miserable because you're not doing anything that actually brings value to your life. I love this verse from Proverbs chapter 19, verse 4, which says, "Wealth attracts many friends, but even the closest friends of the poor man, of the poor person deserts them." This is a harsh verse, but it's very true. Because here's the thing that most of us don't think about. The ultimate power of money is in controlling our time. And in order to build relationships with people, we need time. This is where college is so beautiful, because you can be broke, but all of y'all are broke together and you're in college, so it doesn't matter. But once you leave college and you have to start paying bills and all these things, and you have to start hustling to make sure you can put food on the table, you don't have as much time to be able to build those relationships. But when you have your finances and you can control your time, then you start seeing the benefits of money. Myth number three, more money, more problems. I love this quote from Edgar Doucet, who says, if you have a problem that money can solve, you don't have a problem. A lot of us believe that the Biggie song that says more money, more problems. I don't believe it's more money, more problems. I believe it's more money, different kind of problems, where you have to relearn new skills in order to handle those problems. For example, when you start making a little bit more money, you have to understand taxes. When you start making a little bit more money, you need to understand other types of insurance vehicles that you need to understand. When you start making a little bit more money, if you buy other things, you need to understand how to uphold yourself to a new standard. More money, different problems. It's not more money, more problems, because a lot of our problems, let's be honest, like I said earlier, are solved when we have a little bit of change in our pocket, and then we can deal with some of the other problems that we have going on in our lives. Myth number four, I can't negotiate my bills. This is not true. Everything is negotiable. If there's a bill that you either cannot pay or do not want to pay, call the person up and negotiate that bill. Shout out to my older sister. She does this all the time with my mom's cable and internet provider all the time. And she would just call them up. She would see the bill and she'd be like, I'm not paying this. Call them up and be like, yo, I'm about to leave. I've been a good customer for years. How are y'all about to increase my thing? And of course they're like, they'll try to do some pushbacks and they'll try to put you on all kinds of holds and try to frustrate you. But all you need to do is just take one day that you have off and just sit on that phone and be like, I'll wait, and then get that deal for yourself. Everything is negotiable. I owed the IRS about $10,000. I ended up settling with the IRS for $1,000 because everything is negotiable. Never take the first bill. Never take the first bill. Everything is negotiable. One thing you can learn very quickly, I have friends who never pay their annual fee on their credit cards because they understand how that system works, where they would just call them up and be like, yo, I've been a good customer for y'all for years, so why should I pay this? Now, that's never worked for me, but everything is negotiable. I'm not saying like every single time you're going to get the best of luck, but I am saying like at least pick up the phone and make a call and negotiate every single one of your bills. Negotiate, because you know one thing, these companies want their money, and it's a lot more expensive for them to acquire a new customer than to keep you as a customer who can keep giving them money. Myth number five, money is hard and complicated. Let me tell you every single thing you need to know about money in one sentence. Live on less than you make, invest and save the rest. That is all you need to know about money. That one sentence encapsulates the entirety of everything when it comes to managing money. Money is not difficult. The difficult part is us actually taking action and taking ownership. Taking action and taking ownership over our finances, where we're not looking to the right or to the left, where we're not searching for somebody else to come bail us out. No. It is on us to take ownership of where we are financially. Regardless of what may have happened in the past, guess what? It's now on your lap and you need to handle it. So money is not hard. The hard part is just you taking ownership. But the good thing is, by you watching this video, by you learning more about money, you're already taking ownership. Now you got to put that thing into action though. You can't just sit on the sidelines and expecting that magic will just happen and all of this will get wiped away. Myth number six. Investing is hard and complicated. And I love this quote from Warren Buffett, who said, you don't need to be a rocket scientist. Investing is not a game where the guy with 160 IQ beats the guy with 130 IQ. The most important quality for an investor is temperament, not intellect. I know we get inundated with all kinds of fancy jargons, whether it's PE ratios, whether it's stock numbers, whether it's dividends, whether it's all these things that we regularly hear about that scare us and try to force us away and try to like make us get into, go into shock every time anybody is talking about investing, and we freeze up and we freak out. But honestly, the only thing you need to know when it comes to investing is this one simple thing. Keep your fees low and be consistent. That is all you need to know about investing. And when I say consistent, it means consistently buying a target date index fund. That's all you need to know about investing. It doesn't take you being a genius trying to pick stocks or all of these things. The easy thing, the good thing about the time and age that we live in today, all you need to know is how much can I invest? What is the investment choice I'm making? And how can I make it an automatic process every single time? You set it up once and you don't even have to look at it again. You set it up and you just check it up periodically to make sure that everything is working properly. You set up that automatic investing plan for your benefit. You don't have to do anything interesting. Good investing is extremely boring, which is what most people don't tell you, whether it's day traders, option traders, or anybody trying to sell you some kind of course to come be some kind of trader or anything like that. Good investing is extremely boring. Myth number 7. Buy the cheaper item. Now, this is one that is still extremely hard for me. This is a myth that I'm still trying to run away from. Sometimes it's better for you to go for quality over quantity. It's better for you to buy the thing that may be that may seem a little bit more expensive up front, but over time it's going to end up being cheaper. I've told this story before about buying a battery pack for my lawnmower. And I bought this battery pack on Amazon for cheap. It was $50 versus the original one was going to be like, I think $70 or $80 or $100 or something like that. And I was like, no way I'm going to spend that much money. So I bought the cheaper one. But that cheaper battery pack is trash. It never gets enough of the work done. It always dies super fast and it's just useless. Like I can't really use it for the lawnmower. So at the end of the day, I end up burning myself because I still had to buy the $100 battery pack. And then the other one is useless. So I end up spending $50 more than I needed to use. And a way that you can deal with this idea of buying the cheaper item or always trying to buy the cheaper item, you can do something called cost per use. You can estimate how much you're going to be using this thing. And if it's something you're going to be using all the time, then guess what? You can amortize that cost, which is basically you can divide it by the amount of time that is going to take you to basically use the value of that thing. And what you find out is it ends up costing you way less to buy a good thing than for you to keep buying and buying and buying. For example, one of my friends convinced me to actually get a real leather belt because I was being cheap and they forced me to buy it. And now that thing has lasted me for so long, where in the past, after 2 years, I'm gonna have to buy another belt. Every 2 years, a new belt. Every 2 years. Now I've used that thing for like 5 years and it's still good. So it's stuff like that is one thing I'm still learning to make sure that I'm not just buying the cheapest option. It's the same reason that we tend to buy in bulk, because up front, it looks like when you buy in bulk, like those people like myself who loves Costco, anybody Kirkland gang up in here, I love Costco so much. But anyway, for those of us who buy in bulk when you go to Costco, you understand that over time it's going to be much cheaper than for you to go to like the dollar store or to go to like to go to Dollar General, any of these places, and get the cheapest option, which ends up not lasting you nearly as long and ends up costing you so much more. So definitely buy in bulk and you save so much money. Myth number 8, we can't be responsible with money and enjoy life at the same time. Now, a lot of us may not say this out loud. A lot of us may think that we don't actually believe it, but by the fruits of their action, you shall know them. Basically, the way we live our lives says this, because a lot of the time we're either like, well, if I can't travel with my friends and also save money at the same time, I might as well just YOLO it. That's what a lot of us actually do. By our actions, we feel like we can't do both. We feel like we can't save and enjoy life. We feel like we can't save and go out to eat dinner. We feel like we can't do either one. We have to be on both sides of the extreme. When in reality, there's this middle ground. There's this middle happy medium that we can get to and we can do both. You can both save and invest and pay off your debt while at the same time doing some of the things you love. However, the main thing here is, what do you value? Because I love this quote from Greg McKeown, which is, you can do anything, but you can't do everything, which means you have to take the time to figure out what are the things you actually value. Is it that you love going out to eat? Is it that you love to travel? Is it that you love to buy new clothes? Is it that whatever that thing is, do those things and then forget all the other stuff. This is how you can both enjoy life and also be responsible with your money. Myth number 9, we need a lot of money to start investing. Yo, I started investing with $50. That's how much I had in my pocket when I started investing. Today's world, with the platforms that we have, you can start investing with as little as $1. It doesn't take you having hundreds and thousands of dollars for you to go start investing. You can start investing today with as little as $1. So get started on that thing. Don't use the excuse of, oh, I just need to save up. No. Start investing today. In fact, you should have started yesterday, but guess what? It's too late. So start right now. You don't need that much money to start investing. Just use something like your company 401k plan or open up a Roth IRA and just make it a consistent automatic thing and you can start investing today, because the small little steps you take today will lead to giant leaps tomorrow. So get started investing as soon as possible. Myth number 10, starting a business is the only way to build wealth. Again, I call bullshit on this. Ignore all the noise and all the entrepreneurial nonsense that you hear on social media all the time talking about, if you want to make money, if you want to build wealth, if you want to you got to start a business. No. Let's just be honest. Most people, what is that? I think it's like 80% of millionaires, 80% of people in millionaire status actually work a 9-to-5 job, which is something a lot of these entrepreneurship people won't tell you. Most people are built for a 9-to-5 job. I, for example, love my 9-to-5 job. So I don't have a need or desire to start a business. Now, of course, I do want to start a business just for extra change. Who doesn't want some extra money in their pocket? However, starting a business is not the only way that you can possibly build wealth. A 9-to-5 job that pays you well is also an excellent way to build wealth over time. Myth number 11, renting means I'm throwing away money. Now, y'all already know, we'll talk about that one later, but rent is paying for a service. Just like when you go to a restaurant, you're not thinking, oh my God, I'm paying for the rent. I'm paying rent to the guy who owns this restaurant. No, all you're thinking is I'm paying for the food. The food is being given to me. That's all it is. Rent is an exchange of service. You pay money, you get a roof over your head. Just as there are people who own homes and are rich, there are also people who own homes and are poor. There are house poor people. There are also people who rent and are very wealthy. You don't have to own a property to build wealth. You can invest the difference and you'll be okay. Renting does not mean that you're going to not be able to build wealth. Rent provides you with flexibility and with freedom that when you own, you do not have. Rent is a service and it's just part of life. Sometimes we will rent and sometimes we will buy. Rent is not throwing away money. Myth number 12, in response to that previous one, a house is an investment. Again, bullshit. A house, especially your primary residence, is not an investment. It is not an investment because guess what? An investment has an expectation that I'm going to make more money out of this thing. But the way that we live in our house, when we paint all the walls different colors and we do all the things, the special things that we do to make the house fit us, doesn't necessarily make it a great investment, okay? A house is not necessarily an investment. Now, it can be an investment if done properly, but for most of us, a house is not an investment. Can you make money from your primary residence? Yeah, you can. But it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to make money off of it. A house is not an investment. You can check out the link in the description on an article that I broke down why a house is not necessarily an investment for most people. Myth number 13, real estate is the best way to build wealth. Refer back to myth number 10 of the reasons why I don't believe this is true. And also, I would link down in the description an article from Nick Majuli where he talked about the return on hassle. A lot of us think that real estate is just, I buy a house, I start renting it out, I make money. There's a lot more that goes into it. So go check that article out if you're trying to understand why I believe the things that I believe when it comes to real estate. Number 14, all debt is bad. This is a myth that I've believed for the longest time. I don't like debt. I do not like debt at all. However, debt is just a tool in our financial toolkit. That's all it is. It is a tool that can help you get to a better position if used properly. But that's the key word, properly. If you use it properly, if you're not just using it any which way, because at the end of the day, which I always find this to be such an oxymoron when people say good debt. There's no such thing as, like, yes, it can be used to put you in a better position. By the end of the day, debt is debt. Debt is debt. Whether it's debt on a mortgage, whether it's debt to start a business, whether it's student loans, at the end of the day, debt is debt and you have to pay that thing back. So it's not about good debt. It's about understanding what you're getting yourself into. That's what it is when it comes to debt. Not all debt is bad, but at the same time, not all debt is good. And even the things they call good debt doesn't mean that it's always good, because at the end of the day, you have to pay that money back plus some. So debt in and of itself is not bad. It's just, how are you using it? Are you using it to grow your net worth, or are you using it just to feed your indulgences? Myth number 15, a credit card is an emergency fund. No, it is not. A credit card is definitely not an emergency fund. Basically, when you use your credit card as an emergency fund, basically what you're doing is like living in a dirty room and you have all this dirty laundry all over the place. And instead of actually cleaning the room, you just start stuffing all your clothes into different closets, under the bed, under the mattress, under the covers, and you just cover it all up. And you're like, well, my room is technically clean. My room is clean, but we all know it's not, because the stench is still in your room. And all it does is it gets worse, because all those clothes get really moldy, and then it gets worse and worse, and it's just disgusting. Then you need to hire somebody to come and disinfect the entire house, because you left some disgusting aged clothes and disgusting plates and disgusting stuff all over the room. No. It's the same way when it comes to using a credit card for an emergency fund. If you use a credit card for an emergency fund, what ends up happening is you can end up making the situation worse, because credit cards right now have an average interest rate of about 22%. 22%. That is very high. That is very high, which means that when you pay for something, just tack on an extra 22% if you're using it as an emergency fund. This is why it's important for you to have actual cash in a savings account that you will use and as an emergency fund, not a credit card. Myth number 16, credit score is the most important financial number. Guys, I saw this poll on Twitter where somebody was like, would you rather have a perfect credit score or $100,000? Like, what kind? That's a dumb question. No offense, but that's a dumb question. You take the cash every single, in fact, it doesn't even have to be $100,000. $10,000, I'm taking the cash. $100, I'm taking the cash. I don't care, because at the end of the day, when you have a perfect credit score, what's it going to do to you? At least if somebody gave me $100, I can go to a nice dinner. But if I just have a perfect credit score, guess what I have to do? Take out a loan. Mm-hmm. And then I'm paying interest on that money. So no, credit score is not the most important factor at all. Now, don't mishear me. I did not say it's not important at all. I said it's not the most important factor. Your focus should be on things like your net worth, should be on things like how do I save for an emergency, should be on things like making sure you have the right insurance policies. It should be on all of these other things, not on your credit score. Yes, get your credit score to a good place because of the financial system we operate in. It's important, but it is not the most important thing. And if somebody offers you the deal of a perfect credit score or some money, take the money. Take the money. You can at least work your way up the scoreboard with your credit score. It's not that hard to do your credit. I have multiple videos on how to make your credit score go up. And there's the easy way to make your credit score go up. Pay your balance all the time. Never use more than 20% of utilization rate on your credit cards. That's it. That's all you need to know if you want to increase your credit score. It's not that hard. Myth number 17. Retirement is an age that is defined by law. Right now, that age is 67. This is not true. Retirement is a number, but it's not your age. Retirement is the amount of money that you have in a bank account where you don't need anyone's money in order for you to fund your lifestyle. Where you have so much money, you have enough money in investments and in assets that you can fund your life without anybody having to give you any more money. Where you don't have to go out there and get a business and get people to pay you money to do something, or you don't have to go out and go to work and sell your time for money. Where you don't have to do any of these things, where all you have to do when it comes to your retirement, where you all you have to do is exist and you get money from your investment portfolio. That's retirement. You can retire early. You just have to save more aggressively and invest more aggressively on the front end. Or you can take longer with your retirement and just take it passe passe. Either way, retirement does not mean need to be something that is only I do it. I'll be retired when I'm 67 or something like that. No. Also, another myth that goes along with this one. You can start worrying about retirement when you are older. Look, man, when it comes to investing, time is your best friend. The earlier you get started on this, the better it will be for you. So start learning about investing and all of these things earlier on rather than later on down the line. Myth number 18, 401k or Roth IRA is an emergency fund. These are not emergency funds. The money that you put into your 401k or into your Roth IRA are for future you. You need to have a separate emergency fund account where you put money aside for things that come up. Even if you can withdraw the money from your 401k or your Roth IRA, it is costing you hundreds of thousands of dollars that you might have had over time. I understand that there are some circumstances where you need to pull from it, but you do not want to make it a regular habit that, hey, I want to do something to my house, so I'm just going to go to my 401k and pull some money out. Or, hey, I want to buy a new car, I'm just going to... No, save up for these things rather than just dipping into your 401k because you're costing yourself hundreds of thousands of dollars over time. As Charlie Munger always says, never interrupt compounding unnecessarily. Myth number 19, I can't start saving because I have debt. Look, man, I paid off over $10,000 in credit card debt while at the same time saving my first ever $10,000. You can definitely do both. Now, I'm not going to say like everybody's going to do it at that level. I thank God I had a pretty good income and I was living on next to nothing. I was literally like rice and beans, beans and rice. But you can save and invest. You can save, invest, and enjoy life. You can save, invest, pay off debt, and enjoy life. There's a balance you have to do. Yes, there. Like I said earlier, you can't do everything, and you have to sacrifice some of the things that you would love to do, but you can definitely do all of these things. Now, for some of us, we want to be hyper-focused. Now, I do guarantee like hyper-focus is good, but I would definitely not say like wait to start investing until you pay off every single one of your debt. I would say at least pay off your credit cards. But when it comes to like your student loans, when it comes to your mortgage, when it comes to things that have a lower interest rate, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, like I have to wait. I have to pay off all my debt before I start investing. No, no, no. Like we said earlier, time is your best friend. The earlier you get started investing and saving, the better it will be for you. Number 20, I will have my student loans or insert any other type of debt forever. Look. Student loans only stay as long as we say they stay. If we choose to get rid of them, we can eliminate them. And here's another bonus myth. I need to take student loans in order to go to college. No, you can get scholarships. You can get grants. Get all the free money possible that you can possibly get, which means for parents, start incentivizing your kids to do well in school or also be really good at some scholarship or anything like that or some kind of athletics or something like that. You don't need debt to be able to go to school. Or you can start saving up for your kids right now using that 529 plan and save up some money for your kids as they plan to go to college. Number 21, myth number 21, pay off your mortgage as fast as possible. It depends on you. This is a myth because I don't believe you have to pay off your mortgage super fast. You can take your time, especially when we have low interest rates. The questions I would ask is, do you have an emergency fund? Do you have credit card debt? Are you already invested? In other words, are you doing all of these other things in order for you to start focusing on such a low interest rate thing right now? I think more than 90% of people who have mortgages have less than 4% interest rate on their mortgage. So for me, that's like, there's no reason for you to try and pay that off as quickly as possible. Also, the other question you have to ask yourself is this my forever home, right? Am I planning to live in this home for the remainder of the growth of my children and everything? So I wouldn't rush to try and pay off my mortgage as quickly as possible. But here's a cheat code for anybody who wants that debt gone. Rather than put in the extra dollars towards the mortgage, open up a new brokerage account and call it early mortgage payoff brokerage account and just start investing money in a total market index fund or something like that. And then eventually when that money is enough, you can take that money out and just pay off the mortgage in one fell swoop. and just pay off the mortgage. So that's how you can kill two birds with one stone, because that way you probably make a lot more money. Plus it will go a lot faster invested in the markets, letting that money grow and then taking that money and paying off the mortgage. However, I also understand that for a lot of us, it's more of a mental thing of like, I just don't want to owe anybody any money. And that's okay as well. Just understand how to go about doing it. Myth number 22, don't talk about money. F that noise. The best way that we learn things is by sharing our experiences with other people and learning about what it is that they do as well. So talk about money. Talk to your friends about money. Learn about how they are going through different situations in their lives, how they learned about different things. And then you yourself grow from that as well. So please do not hide in a corner somewhere. Talk openly about these things. Just talk in safe spaces. Talk to people who won't judge you, who you trust and who you believe in. But also be careful about whose advice you're taking. Take my advice, not everybody's advice, all right? And then finally, the final myth is greed is good. This is something that we learned from so many different people on Wall Street. This is something that we've learned from Milton Friedman, because he believes that the number one goal from every business is to maximize shareholder returns. I don't believe this. This is a complete and total BS. Greed is hardly ever good. It always leads to other people getting hurt, even yourself getting hurt, because if you're willing to abuse everybody to get what you want, it ends up a wall of fire everywhere. You leave a destructive path behind you and you end up destroying yourself as well. This is why I love to say generosity is always greater than greed. But anyway, these are 23 of the myths that I could come up with. If you have any myth that you want to share, please, like I said earlier, DM me on Instagram at @BuyKelechiWaba. Of course, all the links will be down in the show notes and in the description, or on Twitter, or email me at ramblingmindshow@gmail.com. But that's all I got for y'all this week. I hope y'all learned one, maybe two things out of this entire thing. And if you did, share this podcast with one person that you love, one person that you hate, and one person you're just kind of like, about. And by that time, you'd have shared it with every single person that you know. But it's been your boy, Kelechi. I'm going to catch y'all up on the next one. Remember, generosity is always greater than greed. God bless each and every single one of y'all. And I'm out. Peace.